Welcome to Wellness Radio with Dr. Jeanette Gallagher as your host. Her show discusses topics of health, wellness, and spirituality, and is about discovering your place in this great universe, from your cells to the cosmos. Along with her guests, in casual conversation, she strives to ask the difficult questions that may be holding you back from a vibrant life, and shares new ideas that may inspire you to make a change in your life that you only can see in your dreams. And now, here is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Wellness Radio. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and it's a pleasure to have you with us here this evening. Tonight, we are going to be talking about what is your life path? What is your life all about? What does it consist of? Is it your obituary or your legacy that you're trying to accrue to get up that ladder? How many letters are behind your name? And how many degrees or how many accolades and pats on the back have you received in life? Perhaps it's truly about how have we helped others? How have we given back to those in need? How can we see our soul growth versus that human path where it's always about outcomes? Our soul path, I've always said, is truly about being in presence, in awareness, doing your best, and being able to be open, feeling emotions, knowing what's right or wrong, and just being the best person with all that comes along of your challenges. Truly, that's about a soul path. The human path is, I'm doing this because I have to get over there. I'm not interested in those people. This is where I'm going, and I know it's my path, it's my soul path, because I'm going to get it, and you've got blinders on. Sometimes it's maybe time to take off the rose-colored glasses, chuck that human illusion, and say, I am going to figure out what or how or why I'm even here on this earth. What is it all about? Truly, it's about asking more questions than having answers. Rather than having a place to go, it's having a soft place to land. Today, my guest is Matthew Planck. His book is Break Open Your Box, Piecing Your Life Together for a Time Such as This. Matthew, thank you so much for joining us today. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you, Dr. Jeanette. Happy to be here.
Oh, you're so welcome. Thank you, Matt. Don't you think that really, it's truly about where are we going versus this human dogma where I think decades have told us we should have this plan and it's all written out, just follow the steps, don't you think?
I absolutely agree. Your introduction, I feel like I could just put an amen on and we could be done with this conversation.
I know. Yeah, I think, you know, Matt, sometimes it depends on what decade you're in, depends on how open you are. Or even it depends on what you're willing to allow yourself to explore. Don't you think sometimes people say, but this is the way it was? That's the way I was told, or this is the way I grew up. Don't you think those are sometimes chains we get stuck in?
Oh, absolutely. I think right now trying to grow up in today's world is so different. I just find there's so much pressure people to find themselves, to compete, to live up to something that is unrealistic instead of just really, you know, tapping into, like you said, what is my purpose? Why am I here? And how can I use that purpose to what I believe is the most important thing is to bless the lives of others.
Right. And you know what I think also, too, I think that people think you get something and, oh, I reached my pinnacle. This is, quote, the it factor we're looking for, when really that moment is about feeling into something. I feel blessed. I feel loved. I feel cared for. I can care for others. And however you want to take all those emotions and feelings. But sometimes, really, it's about when you get to one place, then it'll say, okay, we're ready for the next exploration. Bring it on, Lord. What's coming next? And being open in awareness to that. I think sometimes people say, but this is, I'm going to stay stuck here. And then they are stuck, right?
Yes. And, you know, I got a really good recommendation to journal. And it's something that I thought, you know, that's more of a diary thing, but that has really changed my life. And just what you were talking about, you can flip back, you know, over last week or last month, because if you're like me, my memory is shot at 34
right.
years old. So I have to have that to look back. And it's amazing to see how you didn't really know what you were going through. You know, they say hindsight is 20/20, and it's so true.
Mm-hmm.
But when you look through a journal and you can see, why did I go through that season of my life? What was that for?
Right.
Well, then God shows you. Well, guess what? I had this for you, but you weren't ready for it then. I needed you to do this and go through this. And yeah, as rough the season that was, you needed to go through that to get where you are today.
Right. You know, it's truly about when you're in an emotion, you're not looking at it from the outside. Well, because if you are, then you're really not fully engrossed in the experience in the first place. You're still trying to justify it or quantify it or give it a right or wrong kind of answer. If you're fully in the moment, then when you're fully on the other side is when you have that retrospect. You know, and I think retrospect is truly, sometimes it could be days, weeks, months, or even decades till you come up to that retrospect. And it really isn't about showing up all the time as an outcome. It just shows up as, oh, that isn't that a gem? It's almost like a gem in your story, don't you think?
Yeah, you know, it's those hidden blessings, those, you know, moments that, you know, it's so funny because, like you said, when things happen, you just kind of look up and say, why? You know, what
mm-hmm.
what did I do to deserve this? You know, the question that people ask all the time is, why does God let good things happen or, you know, bad things happen to good people? Well,
mm-hmm.
okay, what is your mindset in that? Are you trying to find the reason? Because you can go
right.
down that rabbit hole, you can go down that dead end and try to find that all you want, but what's the point of doing that? What does it matter what happened? The key is can you find the purpose in that situation?
Right.
And when you do, excuse me, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Just go ahead.
When you do, that's when your life really, really takes off. That's when you say, you know what, maybe I that death in the family, maybe that divorce, maybe that was because I was supposed to help someone else down the road.
Right. Absolutely. You know, I think a lot of times when people say, oh, is it this again? It's that coming up again. And almost I would say that, you know, like social media had this out, I think, I don't know when, maybe a decade ago. They would say, if you have one divorce and you're getting another divorce, then you're the problem because you're the one co-factor. And I've turned it around and say, absolutely not. From one person, I learned this. From that person, I learned that. And from the next one, it might be this. Similar again, I'll learn something else. I think it doesn't matter about the story, how we see it in a human dialogue. It's more about how we can feel into whatever it is that shows up. Don't you think?
Yeah, and you just hit upon such a powerful topic, and I think that is relationships. You know, we are not meant to go at life alone, and I think that's how the enemy gets me a lot, is puts me in that isolation and, you know, you start having those negative thoughts in your head. But
mm-hmm.
when you get around people and you build those connections and you're built up and you're encouraged and you're inspired and you can be there for each other, I mean, that's when I believe your life really begins to take off. You know, they say, show me who the five people you spend the most time with and I'll show you what type of person you're becoming. I would challenge everybody, you know, on air right now to think about that question. Who are the five people that you spend
right.
the most time with? Are those the five people that you want to spend the most time with?
Mm-hmm.
What are they doing for you? Are they building you up? Are they tearing you down? And if you're one of those five people for someone else, what are you doing for them?
Right. And also, too, the idea that, you know, if we look back, I'm in my 60s and I look back and, you know, people in their 60s when I was growing up, that was the time they were all dying. People did not live till they were 101 like they are now. So if we look at it, truly, when people were taking spouses or relationships in their teens or their early 20s, they would always commit to the till, you know, till death kind of idea. Well, that is based a lot of religions. However, the idea is that if you are starting to grow and you have so many more decades in your life, it may take a change or a shift. Those relationships may grow out of it. You may grow up to something else. Someone may grow in a different direction. And I think to be open and free to that is so vitally important, because we tend to say we have to because we must, because it is a rule, because we are confined by it. And then people don't grow anymore. They say, I give up. I have no answers. And then it gets into controlling, or I have to control them, or I have to subjugate, or I have to become a victim of. And I think then it kind of takes a negative turn, don't you think? Hold on. And then I think when it takes a negative turn, I think sometimes we say, can we see that we are doing the best we can in loving relationships, but also to love within or without relationships? Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's a
tough one. There's a there's a line that I think of a lot, and it says, you know what insanity is? Insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over and expecting different results. And I think something to think about is, you know, one of the key topics in this book is role model and influences. And so I guess I'd like everybody to stop. You know, I'm always analyzing and interpreting and really thinking about my own life. And so for everybody to do that right now is what are you influenced by? What are you watching? What are you listening to? Who are you surrounding yourself with? And here's the big thing. If you don't like those answers, guess what? You have the ability to change them. And I think that change is scary sometimes for people.
Yeah.
You know, comfort is a chain. It keeps you from what's out there that you want, but yet that comfort it's all you've ever known. And so it's hard to step past that. But yeah, that's change. And who likes change, right?
Right. Well, also, too, when you're with a group and you're kind of settled in, everybody's vested in the other person. In other words, you're vested in that cohort staying together. So it's sort of like when an alcoholic stops drinking and they don't go out to lunch anymore with all the other people because they are all drinkers. They're like, well, you can't break our little cohort that we have. And it kind of really takes on a negative kind of connotation, when really that person was trying to grow themselves and the others took offense to it, because then it kind of went in their own face. Well, maybe we should change. Maybe we should do better, you know, that kind of idea. So I think it kind of brings up feelings of guilt or shame in some people when they feel as though others are starting to grow and they aren't. Don't you think?
Yeah, and I think that's a matter of making sure that you're being there to support and be with those friends, but also having the discernment to know that when a situation is not good for you,
right,
and, you know,
absolutely,
maybe transitioning to another topic, health, right?
Or another
so I'm
group.
A big, yes. I'm a big advocate on health, because what I believe, and I believe this all relates in this, you know, tapestry of life, but when you take good care of yourself, you feel better. And guess what? When you feel better, you treat others better. And so, like you said, maybe it is not going to the bar. Maybe it's not grabbing a cigarette when you get anxious. Maybe it's, you know, through nutritional coaching that I've done with patients, it's amazing. Dr. Jeanette, it's amazing to see when people really understand how much health affects their life. And like you were talking about earlier, you know, living longer and in their hundreds. But I don't even think it's so much about the longevity. It's about each day. You know, yes, you want to live longer and be there more for your kids and grandkids, but how can you enjoy each day?
Right. Let's talk for a second about parenting. You share in your book about parenting. And again, your book is Break Open Your Box. I know for myself, there's a lot of decades when kids grew up in the 30s, 40s, and 50s, of the 1900s. I almost have to quantify it these days. But when they grew up then, there was a lot of violence. There was a lot of abuse. There was a lot of things were not as we would see them today. And we look back on them and we say, maybe their grandparents or great-grandparents grew up in a certain way, and they tend to justify that's how they might be acting now. But then also, too, they say, well, now we're going to change it. And I think to be able to say, that was then, and can we look back at it as a gem for how far we've come versus looking back at it and saying how terrible they were, how horrible that was that happened to you, blah, 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 in the negative aspect, when in retrospect, that was what the times were bringing up. So in other words, do we look at the past with the eyes we have of the present? That's a big difference, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. Parenting, boy, what a topic. There is no perfect parenting book for your child, right? And
right.
My wife and I have read different ones, and they are wonderful, but each person is different. And, you know, being a parent of a daughter that is 4 and a son that's 3, hey, we're learning as we go. And absolutely, you know, you take and you learn from the past. One of the things I feel that our generation, there's almost this sense of entitlement of, you know, I need what I need right now, and I want to snap my fingers and I want it to be there. And you talk about, you know, the past, and, you know, you hear the stories of grandparents, oh, let me sit down and tell you about my day. But why don't we? Why don't we sit
right.
down and listen? Not eyes gazed over, but to really appreciate, to absolutely appreciate what our ancestors went through to have what we
mm-hmm.
have. Because I think
right.
that is lost in today's generation. I think we don't realize that we have what we have because of what they did. It's just, well, that was then, and this is me now.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's very, very sad in today's society. So it's something we are absolutely trying to instill in our children.
Let's talk about one of your chapters. This is Love Your Enemies. How would you define an enemy?
That is a fantastic question. I think for me, I would like to say I don't have an enemy. I would say it would probably depend on who you ask, but think about the many conversations that you have throughout the day. Think about the emotions that they bring. I feel like we hold this unnecessary anger, hurt, mistrust, whatever you want to call it, in our hearts, and it's really damaging. I mean, if forgiveness is not just a one-time thing. It's not a, they cheated on me and I need to forgive. That is a daily type of forgiveness. It is being able to look past that fact. And, you know, I believe, being a Christian, I am called to serve, not be served. So I really think it's just a mindset. I don't feel like I have an enemy. But I would say maybe people that aren't in your circle, people that cause those negative emotions that I was referring to initially.
Right. Well, you know what I think is the biggest part is that when you have that topic for the heading of your chapter, what it does is it's coming at it from another side so it can unroot that which you do not want to let others know. In other words, it kind of cracks open something inside that you've been hiding. It's almost like, can we let our secrets out? Give them some light, and that's truly about self-love. So when we think about, you know, are the enemies to say, I don't hate, I go to church, I do this, I do that, and you turn around and you say, well, who are your enemies? They're the first to go whack, whack, quack, 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 you know? So I think, you know, instead, if you had labeled that chapter and says, tell me who you love, and it would be like, oh, I got a list, you go a mile long. Instead, by saying that, you came out at the back door as almost like, let's talk truth here. Let's stop having an illusion. Let's show up for our life and be present instead of saying, oh, yeah, everything's hunky-dory. I mean, like I speak to people all the time and, yes, I'm doing the spiritual path. I'm doing things great and everything. But, you know, this doesn't work out right. And that doesn't work out right. And, you know, well, this is, and they won't listen. And they, and it's like, okay, stop. That's all control. That's illusion. That's facade. So don't you think in a way your chapter was perfectly placed in the middle of your book to say that? To open that gate?
Well, I hope so. You know, in the industry that I work in the pharmacy realm, you can believe that we would have some disgruntled customers, patients, call them what you will, that will come to the pharmacy. And that's, you know, trying to think of wherever you're at. But people basically in the face of, you know, the public is kind of my intention for that chapter of just really really understanding how much a single encounter can affect the rest of the day. I've right. seen it happen. A lot of times, this is me and my vivid imagination. I think of emotions almost like a color of a fog that you can see. And for whatever reason, red is negative to me and green is positive. And I almost can feel, based on a situation, just which one is being expressed in that moment and how I can see it just transfer from one person to the next. And pretty soon it just floods the atmosphere. And I don't think people grasp that reality enough of that one encounter can be a tremendous influence for the rest of the day and not just on them, but throughout the workspace, throughout the community and beyond.
You know, being in your profession, you know, in pharmacy, I mean, like, it's like, do I need to wear a dartboard today or do I need to wear a flak suit, you know? I mean, you know, I've been in healthcare for 5 decades. Believe me, there's many days I feel like that. But, and the truth is that if you can understand that they always come with barrels loaded, you have to understand that maybe that's their pattern. Maybe that's something in their history. Maybe that's something in their fear and say, well, I won't show up as fear today. That would be your position. I'm not going to be fear today. I'm going to be helpful today. I'm going to show up as love today. I'm going to show up as compassion. I'm going to show up as kindness. I'm not going to show up as fear. And do you think that maybe the people you engage with would say, since it feels off, this person doesn't look fearful to me, and then their fear is let down and they're able to have some help. Don't you think that's really almost, that's almost like, hey, do we end up in the Garden of Eden all of a sudden, you know, because paradise is here, you know? It's sort of like, well, that's not human reality. But, you know, isn't that up to us to create that?
Absolutely. And I hear you going into the fruit of the spirit, which is absolutely wonderful and something we should all embody. And you know what's funny to me is when you have that disgruntled patient come up to you, they are expecting for you to just shoot back at them. So one of my absolute favorite things to do, and call me crazy, I love being able to calm down unhappy customers. I love getting at the root of the problem. I love really asking those questions, trying to disarm them. But yet, I think the most important thing is you have no idea what their day was leading up to this encounter.
Right.
You have absolutely no idea what they experienced. And just being in the moment, taking off that white coat and just saying, I'm a person who wants to listen to whatever it is you need to get off your chest. I want you to know I care. One of the things that I do a lot to people, I will ask them the same question 3 times. You can just feel when someone's not right, when they're not having a good day. Mm. How are you? I'm doing okay. How are you? Oh, you know, I'm
right.
One more time. How are you?
Yeah.
Do we really stick around to listen to that response? That's, you know, in the naturopathic world that you work in,
mm-hmm.
the whole body, I think we lose the art of, we just try to fix or mask or just, you know,
right.
throw medication at them and not really get to at the heart of where the problem really lies.
You know, I think sometimes when we say that they're up for defense and they want to shoot us down when they meet with us, is I think it's almost like fear equals fear. In other words, I'm going to project my fear on you because I believe that you're fearful to me. And when you turn around and disarm fear, fear has nowhere else to go. It has to dispense. It has to go away. I just use that word dispense, and what do pharmacies do but dispense? But anyway.
That was good, pun intended.
Oh, Lord. But, you know, I think that's so true, because once you can, you know, it can go away, it doesn't show up again. In other words, that goes into their collective memory, and they understand that. And it's sort of like once the door is open and you find that it's not as fearful to enter, those people will come back to you and they'll ask you another question. Hey, what about this? Hey, do you think I should drink this? Hey, do you think that, you know, this might interact with my drugs? You'll find them almost, hey, did you see the sun outside? Go outside for lunch. Do you know what I mean? So in other words, it's almost like you're welcoming them into the world of being defense, letting those defenses go, don't you think?
Absolutely. And tell me if you agree with this, but so often it seems like a negative encounter will lead to some of the most positive relationships that I have built over the years.
It's
those memorable moments where they were just having that bad day, and you showing them that you're a person and that you care. And just like you said, and this is what I love so much about pharmacy, but it can be wherever you're at.
Mm-hmm.
Your platform can be wherever God chooses for you to be. But in that pharmacy, you build those relationships. It's not a, have you felt here before? What's your date of birth? It's a, John, how are you doing? How are the kids? And you know what? Guess what? Then Mrs. Smith comes in, and it's just a continual day of just friends. And we call people at our pharmacy, they're part of our family. And I believe, once again, relationships it's just something that we just take for granted. Would you agree with that?
Right. Oh, absolutely. How about the idea of when you talk about in your chapter about can you imagine, don't you think we get stuck in believing that things are going to always be the same? Things are going to show up as you expect them? And that once you learn something, know something, or have experienced something, it always is reproducible. I mean, that's the biggest word I hate. In medicine, you know, with evidence-based medicine, it's sort of like, get off, go away, you know, because things are so different. People are so unique. I tell people, strive to be as unique as possible, please. You know, every time you come, I want to hear something different. I want to hear something newer. It's like everything is such, you know, what can you grasp out of the universe? Don't you think sometimes can you imagine it allows people to be freer to explore versus saying this is where I have to be as a rule?
Yes. And, you know, a train of thought that I get in so often, and call it social media, call it the enemy, call it what you will, is trying to run in others' lanes. You know, wishing for something that they have that guess what, I wasn't blessed with, but that's okay, because what are my spiritual gifts? And if, here's the thing, if you spend your life trying to compete or trying to outdo someone in what they're called to do, number one, you're never going to get there because you weren't set out to do that. That's not what your purpose is. But also, you run the risk of never end up discovering your purpose and never doing what you were called to do. And our lives are far greater than we can even imagine. And just like you said, just stopping and imagining, I don't think we reflect enough in life. I think our yesterdays just become our tomorrow, you know, today's and tomorrow's.
Right.
And it's a string of days where we don't stop and really take the time to think, well, what did happen yesterday?
Yeah.
And what was I supposed to get out of that? And how can I use that to make tomorrow better?
Let's talk for a second, Matt, about when things do fall, things falter. We do have those feelings of being selfish or wanting something more or about feeling guilt or shame. Sometimes it tends to create such a shield around us that we tend to say that we've got these secrets that we need to keep in our pocket, keep them locked up with our keys and never let anyone in. Most of the time, those things will tend to get rusty, cause disease, cause you to feel other things, unworthy, unvalued, different words. And eventually, over time, is that our life well-lived? Do you think perhaps, maybe, now we always talk negatively about social media, but I think also, too, social media is starting to say we do have value, we do have respect, we can understand you, we can see you, we can hear you. Don't you think in a way to be able to say, stand up and let some of your secrets out of the box, isn't that being more freeing and owning who you truly are?
I love it that you brought this up because I feel like, and I think this is one of the enemy's tactics, we have to be perfect. We have to have it all figured out. And yes, vulnerability leads to relatability. Guess what? You're not the only person going through that. And by you trying to pretend to be someone you're not, it is absolutely exhausting. Mm-hmm. It's like you said, disease riddled, whatever you want to call it, but that it also paralyzes you. It makes you feel like, and that isolation, you're never going to be good enough and you can't share that. And it one day turns into 2 days and a week and a month. And pretty soon that secret can't ever come out. But if you're listening right now, it needs to. It absolutely needs to. You're going to find healing through that. And here's the most important thing. Others will find healing through that. God will use that far beyond anything you can imagine. So yes, you're right. Social media does get a bad rap, but in whatever way, if that's a face-to-face conversation, whatever that is, please let out those secrets. Don't hold that in.
I think also to the idea that a lot of people, as I work with end-of-life clients, they don't want to go see God and they'll do anything to stay on this earth. Save me, save me, save me, you know, at that last minute at the hospital or in the ER or whatever, because they're afraid that they haven't cleaned up their act, they haven't asked for forgiveness, they haven't said enough Hail Marys and Our Fathers, they haven't gone to confession enough or saved someone else. I think the idea that to believe that we as in this human existence are perfection in all moments of our lives is truly a facade that sometimes dogma tends to put upon us to make us feel broken. And I think that's very unfair as we start to open up our eyes and say, humans have all experiences. Humans are doing the best they can. And humans can go from one end of the paradigm to the other and still be accepted at the end. Don't you think that's what the biggest fear in life is? Is am I going to get to the other side? And am I going to be accepted by God? I can guarantee you, all these other people that are out there saying, well, did I help? Did I do that? Did I do that? In my life? No. Uh-uh. They all want to know those two things. Is God going to accept me? Am I going to be okay? That's it. They don't want to know anything else. They're not worried about those other questions. Did I help others? Blah, blah, blah. That's what they're asking. And I think, can we accept that we're going to do the best we can and that humans are flawed? Don't you think?
I think you've hit one of the most fundamental core topics that we could ever talk about. And yes, that perfection, we just talked about it at church last weekend. Guess what? You're not perfect. I'm sorry. I'm not. You're not. And we're never going to be perfect. But guess what? You know, and I tried to to tackle this topic as hard as it was to be God. But the funny thing about it is we've never seen God. We don't yet somehow he gets all the blame. And you talk about, is he going to accept that? Well, salvation is a free gift. So the question is, will we accept that? We don't have to do this, have to do that. We need to believe in God sending his son down for us. The whole salvation just seems, it's so hard to wrap our mind around the why, but it's not our job to do that. It's our job to accept that free gift. And just when you believe, you don't become perfect all of a sudden. You become that new person, but that new spiritual life, you start out as a baby. Think about when you start life as a baby just on this earth. Do we know everything? Do we have it all figured out? Do we cry? Are we selfish? Yeah, all those things are still going to happen. But here's, I think, the question right now in today's world. We ask God, why can't I do this? Why can't I do that? If we're really believing Jesus is who he says he is, and we want to go to heaven, I feel like the question is God, how can I become more like you? How can I become more like Jesus today? So I think that it's not about what we do. It's that mindset of who are we waking up for every day? Who are we living for? Do we realize that this life is not really about us?
Right. And you know what? That's truly true about being able to say, how can you lead in faith and grace? When others are saying, I don't even know what those words are anymore. I feel like I've stomped on them and just desecrated them to smithereens. How can I find it again? Don't you think many are asking those questions?
Yes. And I think that's the key balance of truth and grace. And as a Christian, if you try to go preach truth down someone's throat who doesn't
right.
believe, good luck.
Mm-hmm.
Good luck. Mm-hmm. But you try to give grace without truth, and you got a runaway train headed straight to hell. So I think that's
right.
what, you know, if you're listening and you're a believer today, don't forget about that balance of truth and grace, because if you forget one, you've lost it. You've lost them. And it's something that's really, really vital to any conversation that you have in today's world.
Yeah, I think it's sometimes we say we're doing the best we can, but then we try to justify it. I think just saying we're doing the best we can, I faltered, I did wonderful, I did the best I could. Period. I think sometimes shorter sentences without all the accolades behind it or all of the monstrous, you know, kind of slaps across the back kind of idea. If we can just say that was a moment in time and I'm in the next moment in time, do better. Next moment in time, do your best. Next moment in time, okay, I'm not doing so good. And just accept it. Mostly, I think acceptance and awareness is the key, don't you think?
Yeah, and you just hit upon it. I mean, I think people, you know, Christians get such a bad rap for everybody believing that we have to be perfect. Well, they're Christians, so they've got it all figured out. Oh, guess what? We
right.
are far from perfect. Like our pastor says, and I will agree with it, I can't be perfect for 15 minutes. You know, we're so much more alike than we are different than we realize. And I think when we can come together and have that conversation and, you know, say, and just like you were talking about earlier, you know, letting those secrets out, letting people know that, guess what, I'm not perfect. And it's
mm-hmm.
okay that I'm not perfect, because it's not required for me to be perfect. There was a perfect.
Right.
And guess what? His name was Jesus, and he did what I can't do and what I will never be able to do. So while I said, I think it's that question of, you know what? I messed up again. I messed up again and again and again. But it's the asking for forgiveness and really that desire to want to be better. I think the difference is, you know, Jesus died for our sins. Are we admitting and are we asking that forgiveness that we are sinning? And sinning is just anything that draws you further away from God. Or are we just saying, you know what, I'm perfect or I'm good enough, right?
Right.
One of the perspectives I tackle in this book is, you know what, my life is good and I don't have a need for God. Well, that's one of the worst viewpoints you can have, because heaven, we don't know what heaven is. We've never been there, but it's this perfect place. And we say, well, I've done enough. I go to church. I listen to Christian music. Hey, you should see what I did in that restaurant the other day, how much I tipped that waiter. I'm a good person. I do really good things, and I'm definitely better than my neighbor who's doing this. Well, what's the comparison? What's your measuring stick? Where do you draw that line? No, we're never going to be perfect, and that's okay. That's okay. I think like you said, it's we need to admit that.
Don't you think also too, Matt, in closing, to say that judgment is not for us, acceptance is, and to accept everyone and self where we are, and not to be judging others as we also feel judged, you know? It's like walking around with that wagging finger. It's just like, put your hands in your pocket, you know? You know? Or if you're starting to talk, cut the sentence short, you know? Listen, give, be aware, be open. Isn't that truly a more time of you're more engaged in the world around you versus being able to control it and create it the wrong way? Yes?
Yes. We have two ears and one mouth.
Yeah.
For a reason. We don't do enough listening. And you're right. There is a judge and we are not he. And you know what the greatest commandment is to love. So how can we better love our neighbor? How can we better love that enemy that we talked about earlier? That's where people are going to see that light. That's where people are going to see that joy. And when they do, that's where you explain where that joy comes from. That's when you show them the reason, the source of your light.
Yes, and that makes the whole difference too. That really brings us back to the beginning, is what are the pieces of your life all about? Because truly it's about they're going to change, they're going to morph, they'll take on different names, they'll have a different cloak one day, but really it's all about that core thing. You know, what do you really believe, and what is your really, you know, what is the love all about in this world? And that's really what drives your bus, yes?
Yeah, and you know, in closing, I would just like to ask everybody, do you know where you're going? I mean, when this is all said and done, we don't know if today is our last day. Do you know where you're going? And do you know the directions to get to where you're going?
Absolutely. Well, Matt, it was such a pleasure to have you with us today. Could you share with the listeners how to find out more information about your work? That would be wonderful.
Yes, absolutely. Website is breakopenyourbox.com, as well as the Facebook page, breakopenyourbox.com.
Very good. Well, Matt, it was a pleasure to have you with us. I think sometimes people say, I'm not quite sure what I'm doing, but I know that I have to ask some questions. And your book, again, Break Open Your Box, it provokes questions, and it definitely opens up a lot of those dark areas of your soul. So I really think it's a great addition.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much for the time today.
Oh, you're so welcome. If you'd like to find out more information about Matthew Plank, again, his book is Break Open Your Box, Piecing Your Life Together for a Time Such as This. Please do click on the link on the bottom of today's show page for more information, and you go directly to his website. And do check it out, because a lot of times we say, what are the questions? Maybe we're just asking the wrong questions. Maybe we're just looking for the answers. And sometimes it's just all about being able to walk in faith and hope and know that all is going to be well. Thank you so much for joining us today. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and until tomorrow, have a great day.
Today we discussed many life-changing concepts. Who do you turn to, and how do you know what is best when faced with a health crisis? Dr. Jeanette is a patient advocate. She listens to the patient, the doctors, and the family, clarifies the health issues and concerns, then helps the patient make the best choices going forward. If you would like help implementing change into your life and health, we can talk and see where you are stuck and how to improve the quality of your life. Check the link on the bottom of today's show page or visit drjeanettegallagher.com to schedule a phone appointment today.